that the word of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice came from heaven, said, "This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." John the Baptist was only 6 months older to Jesus. And he was a cousin of Jesus as well. You all know the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and Mary, mother of Jesus, were first cousins. And John the Baptist and Jesus were second cousins. I'm sure during their lifetime they would have met each other several times. So when Jesus came to River Jordan, when John the Baptist was giving baptism to people of Judea and Jerusalem, and Jesus also was coming to get baptism from him, the role of the John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the Lord and make his path straight so that Jesus could continue with what was started by John the Baptist. He was calling people to repent of the kingdom of heaven is near. Then the people of Jerusalem, all Judea, were going out to him and all the regions along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. John the Baptist, who is considered a forerunner to Christianity, used baptism as the central sacrament of his messianic movement. Christians consider Jesus to have instituted the sacrament of baptism. John the Baptist did not do any miracles. He did not save the people from sin to take away their sins. He didn't do any miracles. He was simply doing a symbolic act of confirmation to those who came to confess their sins. The symbolic act was using water and washing away the sins by immersing them in the River Jordan and laying off his hands on them. The impact of the baptism on the people was dependent on the conviction and the faith the people had in John. Whether it was just a one-off conversion or whether it's a lifelong conversion, we are not sure. But if you look at what happened, that those people, including Pharisees and Sadducees, they came to get baptism from John the Baptist. All these people finally convicted Jesus for death. They convicted him to be crucified. So that indicates their conversion is not strong enough. John the Baptist confessed, he himself confessed, that "I have come to give you baptism by water, but there is someone coming behind me, after me, who is going to give you baptism by Holy Spirit and fire." John the Baptist started the mission, but Jesus accomplished it. Not by water, but by the Spirit. Bible never records that Jesus ever given baptism to anyone. But Jesus had requested the disciples to give baptism on behalf of him. But Jesus did not himself give baptism to anyone. The approach of Jesus' calling people is by the Holy Spirit. But we had requested the disciples to do it. Obviously, there are maybe a reason for this, why Jesus did not give baptism. But John the Baptist said, somebody coming after me is going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. But why he did not do that? That's what I asked the question at the beginning, whether you would like you to be baptized by the best person in the world, or by anyone. Obviously, there must have been reasons for it. Maybe because someone baptized by Jesus would be tempted to broadcast the fact is they might feel a little smug around those who were only baptized by, say, Thomas or Peter or John. Such proud sectarianism is human nature, which would lead to self-glorification. Remember, in Corinthians, if you read, Paul says, Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, there was an argument in the people between who was baptized them, over being baptized by Apollos versus being baptized by Peter. People were fighting. So in order to avoid that, Jesus may have asked the disciples to do the baptism rather than himself. The Jesus' baptism is not just happened, just an event. It was all prophesied 700 years ago. You see in Isaiah, everything about Jesus is written down, laid down clearly from the birth to his end. Everything is written down. The 66 books of Isaiah, the 39 of them, the first one was about judgment. The second part of 27 chapters is talking about bringing message of forgiveness, comfort, and hope. The arrival of Messiah, the kind of birth he is going to have, the kind of Holy Spirit he is going to receive from the Father, how he is going to be crushed to death, how the justice would be established through his dimly burning wick, everything is clearly written. Jesus was simply doing things which was fitting very well in the jigsaw of the prophecies. At first glance, it seems that Jesus' baptism has no purpose at all, because John was giving baptism for repentance of sins and forgiveness. So why would Jesus need a baptism? Jesus was sinless and in need of no baptism. Even John was taken aback at Jesus coming to him. John recognized his own sin and was aware that he, a sinful man in need of repentance himself, was unfit to baptize the spotless Lamb of God. He says, I need to be baptized by you, but you are coming to me. But Jesus' reply was, let it be now so. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. The answer Jesus gave cannot be understood by human heart, very difficult to comprehend. The deeper meaning reveals that it's again connected to his very purpose of his arrival and the impending accomplishment of the will of the Father. When John hesitated to baptize Jesus, Jesus said, "Let it be now." By this he alluded to the righteousness that provides to all who come to him to exchange their sins for his righteousness. So there are reasons. Because of that, Jesus came to be baptized by John. Then questions arose. There are reasons why he came to be baptized. He was confessing sins on behalf of the nations, as Nehemiah, Ezra, Moses, and Daniel had done. On behalf of all the sinful people, he was confessing the sins. His support and approval for John's baptism to continue. Another reason. He wanted to support the mission started by John the Baptist. Another reason, Jesus was about to embark on his great work, and it was appropriate that he be recognized publicly by John the Baptist. Then we can say Jesus' baptism also showed that he identified with the sinners. He accepted baptism in obedient service to the Father, and God showed his approval. He sets an example for us all to follow and make a covenant with God for our faith. So baptism is sort of a covenant that we make with God. Because of these reasons, Jesus took the baptism. And he is well prepared now to accomplish the big task impending to be done. That is why the Father says, "I am well pleased with him." After 30 years from the time of birth, when Jesus has prepared himself very well for the job, then the Father recognizes him. "I am very well pleased with my son. He has accepted the big mission that I have asked him to do." You know, when you look at the time of birth, the announcement of the birth of Christ was not done by the Father. All were angels, you know. Gabriel appeared to Mary, and another angel appeared to Joseph in vision, and the angels appeared to shepherds to tell about the birth of Christ. Not the Father never spoke about his son, but this is the first time the Father speaks about his son, and the Father says, "I am well pleased with my son." It would appear Jesus must have been preparing very well for the last 30 years. Bible never records what happened between the years of 13 and 30 of Jesus' life. And we can only guess that Jesus preparing himself to come out to the baptism and tell God that I am prepared, I am ready to take up the big job. With this announcement, Father sends the Holy Spirit onto Jesus. This marks the anointing of Jesus. This time onwards, all the actions of Jesus were guided by the Holy Spirit. This is a significant moment in the life of the ministry of Jesus. The important fact that we need to be aware that is the very same Spirit led him to be tested by the evil spirit. And he allowed the evil spirit to be tested on the strength of his Holy Spirit. And he wins. The doctrine of the true in God is not actually in the Bible, but in the history, Christian history, we developed that there is a triune God. And this is the very moment that establishment is being made. The eternity of the Trinity is being established at this point, where we see the God Father speaks and the Son is baptized and the Holy Spirit descends, all coming together at the same time. The strength of our conviction to any mission for God is enacted by three persons at the same time. If you are going to do some work for God, we must be blessed by these three persons together. That is why Jesus commanded his disciples, go into the world and make disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows that this is the perfect work to be done by God. As I told you before, I cannot remember the day of my baptism. Last couple of years ago when we went to Israel, everybody wanted to take baptism from River Jordan because it's a very rare opportunity. Nobody will have a chance like this to get baptism from the River Jordan. So we were all preparing to get baptism. But the Reverend said, no way, you can't take baptism. We all were shattered. Why is that? And she said, only one baptism and one faith. You cannot have many baptisms as possible. So what do we do now? But some of us said, no, we want to take baptism. And they went and took it from another reverend and they put the cloak on and got themselves baptized. But our reverend said, there's a truth in it. Unless we have our faith is not strong enough, we have to take baptism so many times. But the reverend said, you can renew your baptism. You don't have to take another baptism. Renew your baptism. So that's what we did. We renewed our baptisms. So I thought it's better to ask some questions from the congregation to see whether we can get some right answers. Okay? True or false? Okay. I have taken a baptism from River Jordan. Therefore, my sins have been forgiven. True or false? Yes, just because you have taken a baptism doesn't mean your sins. Because, you know, remember, one of the guys who went and did baptism himself with another reverend in the River Jordan came back and said, my sins have been forgiven. I was wondering, how come it be? You know, it has to be from the heart, not externally, it should be internally. You know, so A baptism without a spiritual content is considered to be no baptism. True or false? True. You know, even when we pray, there should be some kind of spiritual content. If there is no spiritual content and we are praying, it's a hypocrisy. Anyone who wants to serve God should have had a baptism. Anyone should embark in a mission to do God's work should have had a baptism. Yes. You know, without a commitment and covenant with God, how can you do a job for Him? A baptism is a sacrament, an outward sign of an internal reality. It's true, isn't it? The power of the baptism is dependent upon the power of the conviction a person would have. That's true. So you have gained some knowledge of baptism today. Thank you, God. God was announcing the Son's work as a mediator between God and all creation, as the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus, as the one who could perfectly offer us forgiveness and friendship with God, as the one who was to transform the world. Because of Jesus, we have now hope. With the mission of Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection, and by our faith of forgiveness, in God's sight, we are counted as faithful people. God sees something of Jesus in us, in our lives, and he is well pleased with us. May God bless us all. Amen.